Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the spring of 2020, Mary was a senior at Loyola University in Chicago. She was studying journalism and she'd fallen in love with the student paper. Since her freshman year, she'd been a reporter for The Phoenix. Mary didn't shy away from tough stories, ones that were important to students, but often uncomfortable for the administration. She wrote about street crime near campus and the university's handling of sexual assault cases. But it was a story about the university's tuition hikes, which Mary oversaw as editor, that apparently crossed the line. Not long after the article ran, Mary got a call from the university's chief financial officer.
There's no other way to describe it than it was a temper tantrum. It was incredibly hostile and incredibly disrespectful. I think of how young I was, and frankly, how well I handled the situation considering I was 22, getting yelled at by a 50-year-old man who is a CFO at a university.
Mary was caught off guard by the yelling, but not necessarily by the administration's hostility. By now, tensions between the student paper and the administration had reached a boiling point.
The level of being just berated and harassed and yelled at, and my character was questioned. It wasn't normal. And in 5 years as a professional journalist, I have never been treated that way. It is not normal.
I'm Margot Gray. This week on Campus Files, Loyola's administration tries to censor its own student paper. I never would have heard about this story if it weren't for a tip. The call came from a Chicago area code. On the other end, Bob Hergeth, a longtime journalist.
Journalism is this very crucial tool in education, educating the public, keeping tabs on levers of power, ensuring as best we can the purity of democracy and whatnot.
As you can tell, Bob's a true believer in what he does. He's been a reporter at the Chicago Sun-Times for 25 years, and his connection to the paper goes back even further.
I grew up reading the Chicago Sun-Times. My dad worked there. He was a reporter and columnist, and my mom also was a reporter. You know, I just grew up with journalism in my bloodstream. I really love what I do, and I take it really seriously. I joke that it's sort of my religion.
Bob's other religion is Catholicism. He grew up in the church and later attended Loyola University, one of the country's largest Catholic schools run by the Jesuit order.
It's based in Rogers Park, which is a northernmost neighborhood in the city of Chicago. It's right on Lake Michigan. I mean, it's got this gorgeous chapel that kind of rises from the edge of the lake that anchors the campus.
Decades after attending Loyola, Bob got the chance to come back, but this time in a different role. The university invited him to be the faculty advisor for the student paper, The Phoenix, combining his two lifelong passions, journalism and faith.
Not that I'm some preacher, but I do see a really deep intersection between Christianity and journalism. Both of them purport to pursue the truth.
As faculty advisor, Bob's role was to guide student reporters on ethical and accurate journalism, a responsibility he took very seriously.
you got to care what goes on in the colleges at this level and educating them correctly, the students in journalism, because they're going to be the future.
At the start of each year, Bob had his students read the SPJ Code of Ethics, a guide to what journalists should and shouldn't do. Bob also shared his own list, what he called the 10 Commandments for Phoenix staffers.
Thou shalt not make up shit. Thou shalt not pass off anyone else's work as your own. Thou shalt be exceedingly accurate. Thou shalt challenge authority and the status quo when necessary. Thou shalt.
Bob's commitment to the paper paid off. During his time as advisor, the Phoenix was named the best student paper in the country, not once, but twice.
Loyola was not known as, you know, it's certainly not that I know of, a ranked journalism program. That's typically been regarded as Columbia University, Northwestern, and Mizzou. Yet Loyola's paper was really a force. I'm really proud of that.
We took ourselves very seriously as a student paper, and I was always working on something that was really important and felt important as a student.
This is Mary, the student journalist we heard from at the top of the episode. She says the Phoenix earned its reputation by tackling difficult stories, never hesitating to call out the administration or report on issues that reflected poorly on the university. And there's a long list of those stories.
There was a woman who was beaten and robbed like blocks from campus, and we never got a crime alert about it. There was a building on campus that housed offices for a certain department, and they had been reporting mold and air quality issues for 5 years and hadn't received mitigation for that. There was a professor in which an investigation found evidence of sexual harassment. He was still teaching. One specific one that will stick with me forever is the student who was found responsible for rape in the Title IX office and walked the stage at graduation after he was expelled and banned from campus.
The Loyola administration wasn't exactly thrilled with stories like these, and sometimes they complained. But the unspoken rule held firm. The administration stayed out of the newsroom. Students reported what they wanted, when they wanted. That delicate balance was about to shift. A new president was taking the helm of the university, Joanne Rooney. And as Mary soon learned, Rooney had very different ideas about what student journalists should and shouldn't be allowed to say. June is here, which means it's finally time to reach for your summer wardrobe. And if you're trying to look good without overheating, Quince is your best bet. Their summer collection has all the warm weather staples: breathable linen, washable silk, and soft organic cotton. I now own their 100% linen pants in more colors than I'd like to admit. And the best part is that you get all that quality without the luxury markup. Everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Quince works directly with ethical factories and cuts out the middlemen, so you're paying for quality, not brand markup. And it's not just clothing. Quince has become a destination for elevated essentials across the home, from kitchen to bedding, making it easy to bring a more premium feel into everyday life. Elevate your summer wardrobe. Go to quince.com/campus for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's quince.com/campus for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/campus.
I hear a lot from people that there are days where it's hard to read a single news story. Forget actually being caught up. But I host a podcast that can fix that. It's called The Seven. Seven stories every weekday by 7 a.m. Eastern. And here's the other thing. It's short, less than 10 minutes, in fact. I'm Hannah Jewell. The Seven podcast will turn around your morning and get you caught up. Check it out and follow The Seven wherever you listen to podcasts.
In May 2016, Loyola University got a new president, Joanne Rooney. It was historic. She was the first woman and first layperson to lead the school. But beyond that, Mary didn't know much about her.
I was so new to college and new to Chicago and new to everything that was not even on my radar who the university president was when I was a freshman.
But Bob, the paper's faculty advisor, was very interested in getting to know the new university leadership. After all, it directly affected his job. He served as the go-between for the administration and student journalists.
I don't recall ever being aware of her prior to her being hired. She's not this towering figure that I would have been aware of, but once she was hired, we all became quite aware of her history in the Defense Department and the controversies that she had been involved in.
The controversy Bob is referring to? Years earlier, President Obama had nominated Rooney for Undersecretary of the Navy. But the nomination fell apart after she made controversial remarks about sexual assault in the military. The media coverage was intense, and the backlash was swift.
I wonder whether that, if she felt that she was treated unfairly at the time by the media, if that informed her views of the media, I don't know. All I know is that before she got there, Loyola was really building up and bulking up and professionalizing its journalism program. And that ceased to be a priority shortly after she arrived.
There were other red flags early in Rooney's presidency. At one of her first faculty meetings, for instance, she started raising questions about the Phoenix.
I was just surprised, like, that the school paper would be on her radar. Out of all the things for the new president of a school with, you know, 10,000 plus students and thousands of employees and $1 billion plus of whatever. And then I found out that it was very much on her radar.
To be fair, the previous administration also kept the Phoenix on its radar. After all, student reporters had the power to influence the school's reputation. So those in charge made sure to keep an eye on them.
In years past, when Father Garanzini was the president of the school, he got pissed from time to time over the coverage or if there was a perceived mistake or something unfair, and we'd hear about it. But the school wasn't on lockdown verbally.
In other words, while the previous administration didn't always agree with the Phoenix's coverage, they still made themselves available to student reporters, sitting for interviews and answering questions. But that was starting to change under Rooney. Mary saw it firsthand early in Rooney's presidency. She was covering the new administration's announcement that tuition would be raised.
When Rooney came in, one of her biggest promises was that she wouldn't raise tuition. When you break a promise, you should at least be able to explain why. Why are you not keeping your word?
Phoenix reporters wanted answers. Why exactly did tuition need to be raised? Where was the money going? But Rooney didn't respond. No statement, no explanation. And this pattern of silence was just the beginning. The administration became even less transparent as Loyola found itself in the national spotlight.
Loyola, they are in the tournament for the first time in 33 years. The new darlings of March Madness.
The men's basketball team made a surprising run in the 2018 March Madness tournament. As an 11th seed, they kept pulling off one upset after another. The media couldn't get enough of the Cinderella story, especially the team's 98-year-old chaplain, Sister Jean.
Good and gracious God, we're here today to beat Miami.
We feel confident in playing this game. We're focused.
As a student, it was really fun, but as a journalist, it was clear that there were so many attempts and probably successful attempts to keep this fun little school in Chicago image with Sister Jean and keep that at the forefront and any possible issues pushed down.
In other words, the wave of positive press only intensified the administration's desire to suppress negative coverage, especially stories about sexual assault and street crime. Here's Bob.
They were very restrictive on discussing and helping with those types of stories. It was like a battle to get information, to address allegations and the school's handling of those allegations, the Title IX office, for instance.
Eventually, Bob tried to reason with the administration during a meeting with Rooney's head of marketing and communications.
We sat and we tried to sort of clear the air. And, you know, one of the things that he had said was that, well, she's got to worry about the reputation of the place. And I thought, well, yeah, she does. And she also has to worry about the safety of the place. Not that the administration is to blame for everything that happens, but they can choose how they respond and react. And to me, information is power. If you know that there's a spate of robberies over here, maybe you don't walk there alone at night then. If you hear about somebody being roofied at a bar, which did happen, then maybe you don't go to that bar and maybe you're more careful. And so this is not just fun and games.
In the end, Bob's conversation didn't change anything. In fact, things only got worse after March Madness.
I remember feeling like it was getting increasingly harder to get in touch with people. Honestly, it was incredibly difficult to get answers out of anybody.
And it turns out, this wasn't just a shift in leadership style. It was a deliberate attempt to silence critical coverage. That left the Phoenix with a choice: capitulate or fight back. Ask any student journalist and they'll tell you, professors play a very important, even crucial role in their reporting. Here's Mary.
College professors are so valuable because they usually have one area of study that they are just experts on. And when you write about anything, especially once it gets into things like science, the environment, technology, health, you need people that are going to walk you through things and explain them in the context of the greater field.
So you can understand why Phoenix reporters started to worry when professors suddenly became harder to reach after March Madness. As it turns out, they had good reason to worry. A new media policy had quietly gone into effect, one that required Loyola professors to funnel all media requests through the university's PR staff, even requests from their own student reporters.
It was under the guise of, oh, well, we got so many media requests during March Madness, it's just easier this way to have them all funneled through university marketing and communications. And that felt so odd because, first of all, that's a lot of time to take all of our requests. We were a weekly paper. We were working on several stories at a time. And there's no way that a communications professional would be able to speak about every topic in depth.
On one occasion, a student journalist got in trouble for reaching out directly to professors. She was working on a story about the high number of women in Loyola STEM programs. A positive, flattering piece, the kind of story any university would typically welcome. But none of the professors responded. Instead, she got a scolding email from a PR official. It read, "This is the third inquiry on this topic that has been forwarded my way, and I've been notified of several others. This is disrespectful and unacceptable. I am the first point of contact for the Phoenix."
It was impeding our ability as journalists to tell a story, and it was also putting us in a tough spot just as a student. Of, I'm a student here, and those are my professors. And there was a wall built between us that just felt off, and it felt like my status as a student journalist was all of a sudden this badge of dishonor, almost.
If student journalists had any doubts about their disfavored status on campus, those vanished when they stumbled across a video seminar from the administration. They'd found it online, a seminar led by the communications department and intended for the entire faculty. The stated purpose was to train professors on how to deal with the media.
I think the real reason is probably closer to intimidating everybody so they don't feel like they can talk to a reporter. And they were painting us as these bad people that wanted to twist your words and wanted just to get clicks and wanted to write only negative stories. They were saying that off the record doesn't exist anymore. And even if you agree with a reporter that you're off the record, they will still publish what you had to say because we want clicks. It was jarring.
By now, the Phoenix reporters were fed up. They decided it was time to publicize the challenges they'd been facing, specifically through an editorial.
I remember very clearly being in the newsroom that night before we published it, and there had already been conversations all week of just how far is too far.
On February 13th, 2019, the editorial staff published a piece titled, "Loyola's Media Policy is Straight Out of the Trump Playbook." They released an audio version to go with it.
In our story this year, Rooney refused to talk to us. In an era when the press in the United States is under unprecedented attack, how could Loyola not realize the context it's operating in?
For as many times as Rooney has issued statements decrying the actions of President Donald Trump and his administration, dealing with Rooney's administration is no better than a White House press briefing led by Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
The decision to use Trump's name, I mean, we went back and forth. I don't know that it would have gotten the attention had it not been a direct comparison to Trump.
The story got a lot of attention, and not just on campus. It made national headlines. On the same day the editorial came out, NBC News invited the Phoenix editor-in-chief to talk about it on the show.
Is freedom of the press under fire at Loyola University?
We've never had to bang our heads against a wall just to get an inch of information from the school.
Student reporters and editorial staff say they're fighting an assault on free speech on their campus.
Not long after, FIRE and PEN America, two major free speech organizations, sent a joint letter directly to President Rooney, urging Loyola to rescind the media policy. It read, FIRE and PEN America are concerned for the state of freedom of expression at Loyola University Chicago. This policy restricts both student and faculty members' right to expression and inquiry. In the end, the pressure worked. Loyola rescinded the media policy. But that didn't mean the administration warmed up to the paper. In fact, it was around that time that Mary was yelled at by the university's CFO over a story she'd written. The phone call she described at the beginning of the episode.
I almost look at this through a harsher lens now that I'm a professional journalist, because as a professional journalist, people view you as a little bit more of an equal. I'm an adult. I've been doing this. I have experience. But as a student reporter, it's not outlandish to think that getting reamed by an administrator at your university could completely keep somebody from pursuing journalism. I mean, it's exploiting the power that you have over your students as the one who makes decisions about their finances, about their living situation, about their safety, about their education. And to come with such vitriol was really astounding.
Looking back, Mary believes those experiences helped prepare her for tough interviews in her current role at the Chicago Sun-Times.
Going toe-to-toe with some of the most powerful people at my university, I think it honestly just shaped my ability to stay cool, calm, and collected in tough interviews. And I think if I had not worked on the Phoenix and if it wasn't the chaos that it was, I would have been a little scared of people not liking my reporting or saying that it's mischaracterized or any of those things. But as a journalist, had to grow up a little quicker.
When it comes to her career as a professional journalist, Mary also credits Bob, not just for teaching her the skills she needed, but for encouraging her and her fellow journalists to keep reporting.
His most important role was probably instilling in us the fact that we were doing important work and that we couldn't and shouldn't shy away from it, because then that would have been exactly what the university wanted. And if we didn't have somebody who was willing to stand up to his employer, we wouldn't have had any guidance.
I got wind through a colleague that the Rooney administration wanted to have me fired, and that never happened. But that was something that was discussed internally, which is kind of crazy. You know, major universities where education and intellectualism are supposed to be paramount. It's sort of shocking if you look at it that way.
In the end, Bob stayed in his role at the Phoenix through 2021. Even after stepping down, what happened at Loyola left a lasting impression.
As I thought about it over the months after I left, I thought, you know, this is ridiculous. This is the 21st century. This is a Catholic school. It's an institution of higher learning. And there's no way that this press department for the school and the administration of this school should be behaving this way. I wrote down all of this in an email, sent it to various people, including the chairperson of the board at Loyola.
Bob's email reads in part, "The administration's actions are wrong and unethical and threaten to undermine the school's integrity and reputation and increase its liability." I'm coming to you because I have zero trust in this administration and suspect the board is unaware of some or all of these problems.
I'm not there anymore. I didn't want anything out of it other than just this to be acknowledged and not to be repeated. And I never heard back.
As for Rooney, she also resigned in 2021. But whether that solved any of the deeper issues at Loyola is still up for debate.
They named some sort of room after her, so she went out on a high note. It's very disappointing, not only that this all transpired, but that this wasn't, in my mind, taken as seriously as it should have been.
Bob pointed to another troubling sign that the administration wasn't taking things seriously. In 2024, Loyola appointed a new dean to lead its School of Communication, someone with zero background in journalism.
If you have a School of Communication where you have advertising, PR, and journalism all lumped together, which Loyola does, and a lot of schools do, typically you want, in my experience, somebody with strong journalistic experience, that they hired somebody without that experience that doesn't convey an investment to me in journalism.
Campus Files is an Odyssey original podcast. This episode was written and reported by Margot Gray. Campus Files is produced by Ian Mont, Elliot Adler, and me, Margot Gray. Our executive producers and story editors are Maddie Sprunkheiser and Lloyd Lockridge. Campus Files is edited, mixed, and mastered by Chris Basil and Andy Jaskowitz. Special thanks to Jenna Weiss-Berman, J.D. Crowley, Leah Reese-Dennis, Maura Curran, Josephina Francis, Kurt Courtney, Hilary Schuff, Sean Cherry, Laura Berman, and Hilary Van Ornum. Original theme music by James Waterman and Davey Sumner. If you have tips or story ideas, write to us at campusfilespod@gmail.com.